In our study in the book of Acts, we have been watching to see how people became Christians and how the early Christians acted. Just now, in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, we have come to the place where the gospel has been taken into Europe, in the country of Greece, in the city of Philippi, or as we commonly call it, Philippi. And in our study, we have seen how Paul and his company gathered together down by the riverside at a place where people were accustomed to meet to pray and to worship God, and down there they went with their gospel message. And by the way, when you stop to think about that, it's a good thing to keep in mind when you're asking yourself about the gospel message, what do you think they talked about? What do you suppose Paul talked about down there? Do you think he talked about how to get along with your neighbors? Do you think he talked about how to live in your own home? Do you think he talked about how to be honest and how to be kind and how to be thoughtful of other people? What do you suppose it was that Paul discussed? Let me suggest this to you, that Paul reminded them that every one of them were living under the hand of God, that every human being living had dealings with God the Creator, and that Paul would indicate that just the way in which a man has dealings with God, so it would be true that in the sight of God, man has not done what he ought to have done, and that every single human being stands before God in jeopardy because of his own sins. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so as man continues before God, then Paul would be telling him how that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so Paul would be telling these people that through Christ Jesus, salvation was possible. He would be telling them that they could be forgiven their sins. He would be telling them that they could be completely changed. And he would be telling them that God would give his Holy Spirit to dwell in them so that they might have constant fellowship with God. And this fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would give them victory over the things of the flesh and the things of this world. And they could live in joy and in peace and in fruitful living. Things like that, I think, would be the gospel. That would be the kind of thing that Paul would speak about by the hour as he would be talking with people. If he was telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ, he'd have to tell them about his earthly life. And if he was telling about what the Lord Jesus Christ would do to anyone, he'd have to tell of incidents in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ while he was here upon earth. Such things as you read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If he were going on to tell how it would work, he'd have to start explaining to them how it would work, the way you read in the book of Romans, the way you read in the book of Ephesians. That's the kind of thing he would be talking to them and explaining to them as they would listen, and they'd be finding it out. And so they had been doing this thing, and we read on down through to the 14th verse and found that while Paul and his company were preaching and teaching this way, that a certain woman came to believe. Her name was Lydia. And she was a woman who worshipped God. She heard us. That doesn't mean she was the only person who heard Paul speak, in the sense of her ears hearing Paul's voice. But she heard us would indicate she understood what we were saying. She accepted what we said as being true. Whose heart the Lord opened, she was able to believe these things to be real. That she attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul, which would mean that she believed them, she received them, she believed they were true. Now in verse 15, we're going to see what she did. And when she was baptized, which meant that she was publicly admitted as one of the listeners. You see, as she would listen as a complete stranger, but after she had been persuaded that they were telling the truth, she would come to them, and they would baptize her, a public ceremony of identification in which they would indicate that she was now one of those who believed in what the apostles were preaching. When she was baptized, and her household, not only she but all her family, she besought us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful in the Lord, come into my house and abide there. If you think and in your own heart and mind I have satisfied you that I am a real believer, come and stay with me." And she constrained us. And I want you to notice there how it works with a person who becomes a Christian. You know, one way we have of talking about this is to say that there is immediate participation. The moment a person becomes a Christian, you want to do something. You want to do something in the things of the Lord, to help the things of the Lord along. And so we come now in chapter 16 to verse 16, and we go on to another incident. This incident is slightly different, and this is the way it reads. It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now what we're going to read about, you see, this is after they had come to stay there in the house of Lydia, and they were going on with their preaching, which would mean, I think, that they would go down to this same place of prayer. They'd go there from time to time teaching the people more and more about the gospel. It came to pass as we went to prayer, which is a way of saying that they went to public worship, to the place where they were worshiping God. They went to prayer. This certain damsel, a girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us. Now, a spirit of divination apparently was the capacity to foretell the future. We would call it soothsaying. A person who was a clairvoyant, a person who was able to tell you of things that nobody else would know, and things that you couldn't see. She had the gift of second sight, we would sometimes say. She'd be the kind of person who could tell you something that was happening at a distance. She had in her capacity, a sort of a psychic capacity for what we would call fortune-telling, perhaps you would call it, clairvoyance or something like that. This young woman was possessed with this spirit. She had this capacity to do this thing. She could go into a trance and she could tell you about things that were distant and absent, and she could bring them up to her mind and tell you about them, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. She was a fortune teller, and her bosses that had her under contract, so to speak, they had her do this soothsaying, and then they collected the fees. And so this poor girl was being used in this way to make money for them. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Now this is rather interesting. She followed them through the streets and said these things. Now, everything she said was true. They were the servants of the Most High God, and they did show the way of salvation. But her conduct was irregular. The way in which she did it was strange. She attracted an attention that wasn't healthy. And this did she many days. It was an embarrassing thing to have this happen. It was a distracting thing to have this happen. And by doing this in this way, she actually hindered the work of the gospel. I'm sure that Paul and his company wanted to teach the people. They wanted the people to think about things. And this young woman would follow them and would cry out as she did, and cry out with a loud voice as she did, was a distracting thing. Please notice again, everything she said was true. But the way she did it was irregular. The way she did it in her impulsive fashion and so on was not under control, and it brought disrepute on the whole project. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her," and he came out the same hour. Now that's an action on the part of Paul that we have difficulty understanding. We read it, we don't doubt that it took place, but we don't know much about it, that kind of thing. I expect very few of us have ever seen that sort of thing. But let's read it here again and again. It's true, just exactly the way you read it. And that is to say, it was Paul apparently knew that this woman was under the control of a spirit that forced her to do things compulsively, impulsively. And the way she did it didn't make sense, irrationally. And with that kind of thing brought disrepute upon the gospel. Which brings to our mind that the things of the Lord do not require extraordinary, irrational, compulsive, impulsive action. You don't have to do it that way. You can do it quietly and confidently and in open daylight and with good sense. At any rate, when Paul saw this thing, he was in his heart was disturbed by the whole matter. He turned and commanded the Spirit to come out, and he came out the same hour. Whatever it was, it would mean, whatever it was that happened, the woman was cured. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, she no longer had this capacity of second sight. she no longer had this capacity to be a soothsayer, to be a fortune teller. And so they didn't make any more money of her. And they found out that this spell, whatever it was she was under, was broken, so that she couldn't do the things that she'd been doing. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceeding trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." I don't know whether you're able to follow that all the way through, but I want you to notice that they were accusing Paul and Silas of doing something else than what they were really objecting to. What they really objected to was that Paul and Silas' preaching had changed this girl that had the spirit of soothsaying, of the spirit of divination. And she'd been set free from that, so she couldn't do it anymore, and they couldn't make any more money off her. Then they took Paul and Silas and accused them of disturbing the peace in the city. "These men, being Jews, do exceeding trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive nor to observe, being Romans." And so they bring up a sort of a class consciousness and actually bring in a sort of a race hatred here. And they are saying before the magistrates, which would be the Romans, they'd say, "These men are Jews and they're upsetting everybody because they're teaching things that we ought to do and we shouldn't listen to them because we're Romans." This is the kind of criticism that creates disturbance, and that's what they brought in. And they criticized them, and so we read in verse 22, "The multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." And I read rapidly through the last three verses to tell you that what happened was that Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. And they were thrown into prison because of the criticism and opposition aroused against them by these men who saw that they weren't going to make as much money now as they had been making before. Our God and Heavenly Father, keep us faithful in our witness and testimony, that we might at all times be clear in what we say for the Lord Jesus Christ and faithful in how we try to bring other people to Him. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen.